All right. We are on page 2 of our study guide entitled Purpose, and we're down toward the bottom of the page where it's talking about everything being related to something else and the people who come in contact with us during our lifetime. And one of the things we said is that friendships and working relationships are often divine connections. Now, this made me think in several different directions. I'm going to share just a couple of things with you. I have a friend, not quite a lifelong friend, because I didn't grow up in Thomasville. But after Pat and I were married and came to Thomasville, I met Ruth. She graduated with Pat. But let me tell you what happened after we became friends. And I wish I had time to really tell the whole story, but I won't. One of the first things that happened was that she was diagnosed. She had two children. I had two children when we met. She was diagnosed with endometriosis. And the doctor told her the only cure for that is to get pregnant. And when you have endometriosis, because that's an acidic malfunction in the lining of your womb, it's very difficult to become pregnant. So the Lord put us together, and what we did was agree on the Word of God that she would have a child. Well, a few months went by, and you know what God did. He enabled her to become pregnant, and she had David Samuel, and this was 6 months after I had a child, Jeremy, who's 32 now, so that's how long ago this has been. So I had Jeremy, and 6 months later, David Samuel was born. Well, Samuel means ask of the Lord. She, you know, took that right out of Hannah's scripture, and that was the scripture that we agreed on, the story about Hannah. Well, that was miracle enough, and then she had another child. So they called him Jonas, and we call him Jonas the Bonus, because we didn't pray for him. He just came along. The Lord sent him on purpose. We've been talking about that tonight. Well, that began a relationship of an excitement about the things of God. And what happened after that, besides 7 kids, when we were just the two of us were together, we had 7 children everywhere we went, was that young girls or older girls, married women in the church, began to come to us and ask us, would we pray for them because they wanted to have children and couldn't. And that began what we called our pie ministry days. And here's the reason we call it that. Because I wasn't working and she wasn't working. With 7 children, that's about all we could get done. But I would have gas in my car and she'd have something to make a pie out of. Or either she'd have gas in her old station wagon, which is what we rode around in most of the time with all those children. And I'd have stuff to make a pie. And we would go to these various houses. And the word of mouth sort of began. And we went, you know, we went to people we didn't even know. And somewhere in my old Schofield Bible is a list of women who had children after we prayed for them. And y'all listen, none of those children would be here because of us had God not given us a divine connection. I'm not saying they had never been born because God sent them on purpose, but he gave us that divine connection for more than just us. Yes, it was for Ruth to be healed, and yes, it was for David and Jonas to be born, but it was also for, I don't even know the women, I don't even know who the women are now. I know some of them, but not all of them. There was a long list. One woman had twins, and the neatest thing happened about 20 years later, or maybe more than that. I don't even know how to count that up right now. I had Stone, my first grandchild, who's now 15. As of August 1st, he will be. And Ruth had Michaela, who's just a few months behind Stone, just like Jeremy and David were. We had our grandbabies, our first grandbabies each, and a girl called me. Her mother told her that we prayed for women who wanted to have children. Now, this was a whole generation later, okay? The pie ministry days were ended as far as we knew. I took my baby in a little carrier basket. She took her baby in a our grandbaby in a basket, and we went to pray for this girl. And here was the story with this girl. They were married, and they were in church, and they wanted children, and they were in the Sunday school class of the young married couples. All their friends had baby number one, and she couldn't get pregnant. Then all their friends had baby number two, and still no baby in their house. Well, I want you to know that we prayed for that girl. They had triplets. And made up. I mean, God can bring you out the winner of the race when you started out way behind everybody else. All of a sudden, they had more children than anybody in the class. You know how I said that? You know how that pressure gets on you? They have children. You know, they have baby number two. Carrie, what's wrong with you? You know how that guilt begins to come on us and all that stuff that goes along with the worry and all that? Well, God caught her right up to where, you know, she had so much fruit to show. And then, wasn't too many years later that they had baby number four. Okay? So, you see, I mean, that was a divine connection. God put Ruth and me together to do a lot more than decorate and have weddings for people. It was about babies. Then I'm thinking of Charles Lackey, who has been had the heart to go to other countries because of the vision God gave him a long time ago. But he didn't have a curriculum. He didn't have the materials that they needed when he got there. He could preach to them and teach them, but he didn't have anything to leave them. He had the Bible, but they didn't have teaching to go along with the Bible. And they had a lot of error, you know, if they had anything at all. He needed a curriculum. Well, God divinely connected them with us at STC Bible College. We had the curriculum he needed. He had the willingness to go all the time, which we can't do because we have the college. And away he goes with our curriculum into who knows how many places. God sent Annette to be a student in the Bible college. But that wasn't just about Annette being a student in the Bible college. He gave Annette the vision to put the curriculum and the whole college offerings, all of the degrees online, so that people anywhere in the world could, number one, hear the gospel, because that's on our website, which she also designed, and number two, could study the Word of God for credit or not. It doesn't matter. But people all over the world can study STCBC curriculum because God gave us a divine connection. We wouldn't even have the college if, gracious, 20-some years ago, there hadn't been a divine connection between Pete and me. Pat went to high school with Pete. Pete was writing and needing somebody to edit, and Pat said, "My wife teaches English. Why don't you let her help you?" That's how this whole connection began. And little did we know, you know, as I edited that first study guide for him, that 19 years later, the college would be born. That was a divine and is a divine connection. See, God puts us with people, strategic people. I know if I gave you time to tell your stories, and that's not all, that's just some, that, you know, we were divinely connected so that your grandbaby could be with me for a little while. It's just, I mean, God is amazing. Not everybody who comes across your path is divinely connected to your ultimate purpose. That's not what we're saying. Although everybody who comes in contact with you has contacted the gospel, because it's on the inside of you. Didn't Jesus say, "The kingdom of God's come near you because I'm here"? Well, the kingdom of God comes near people you rub shoulders with every day. So that's, you know, that's an opportunity if God leads in that direction. But you know yourself, there are people in your life that God has strategically placed you with to bring you along the road to your purpose. I can remember the first lady who ever had a ladies Bible class that I started going to. Divine connection. She's gone home to be with the Lord. I'm still teaching. She had tremendous impact on my life. And on the story goes, and the same with you. So God puts people and he gives revelation to our life by the Holy Spirit that this is the direction that we're to go. And this person contributes to that, makes a suggestion. I'm a principal today. because of a principal, a man at Welcome School, who every time I went in his building, I didn't have any intention of being a principal. He would say, "When are you going back to school?" And I would say, "I'm not going back to school." He'd say, "Yes, you are." And I'd say, "Why do I need to go back to school?" And he'd say, "Because you need to come work in this building with me and be a principal one day." And I'm like, "Not me." Well, he kept planting that seed until one day I thought, "Well, I guess I ought to consider that." And then one day I walked to check in on a summer school group and found out there was going to be courses offered right there in the school. One night a week, and it wasn't on Tuesday or Thursday. I was already teaching at the college. I couldn't have done it. It was Monday night. And the summer courses were Monday and Wednesday. I went to school, and guess what? I did become a principal, and God put me there with that person on purpose. So divine connections are extremely important, and if you'll think back over your life, you'll see the people that God has placed to impact your life on purpose and guide you into who you are and what you're here for. And I thank God for divine connections. God places us in contact with people whom He has ordained to assist us in fulfilling our purpose. I know I'm Pete's assistant. And God did that on purpose. And I can help Him fulfill His purpose. And what a privilege it is to be able to team up with somebody and help them get the work done that God put them here to do. Get the purpose accomplished that God put them here for. And you know what else? As I help him, guess who else is unfolding in purpose? Me. So you see, God's big enough to weave us all together in His body so that we can supply what we have that somebody else needs. That's the whole purpose of knitting the body together. That's how it works. Not only are we benefited by these connections, but we also benefit those to whom we're divinely connected. We benefit you. You benefit us. That's the way it works. God doesn't shortchange anybody. He doesn't need to take what I've got and give it to you and then leave me empty. No, He'll let me take what I have and give it to you, and then He'll pour right into me from you or from another source. It's just beautiful the way it works. Perfect design. Now, Satan tries to pervert godly relationships in an attempt to prevent purpose from being fulfilled. Let's think about David and Jonathan just a minute. The scripture says that when Jonathan saw David, he loved him with his heart. Now, that made Saul mad. And it made Saul jealous because David and Jonathan had a relationship that Saul and Jonathan didn't, and that Saul and David surely didn't. And Jonathan loved David to the point that he believed that he was anointed to be the king of Israel and was willing to. He gave him his sword, he gave him his robe, he gave him his identity, in essence, that's like covenant with him. I give you my sword, I put myself at your mercy. That's my defense weapon. I give you my robe, I give you my identity. Who would have been king? Jonathan, Saul's son. But Jonathan saw in David the one God wanted to be king. Divine connection. Said Jonathan loved him as he loved his own soul. But Saul was jealous. So you see, there's always somebody trying to pervert the godly relationship. It may even be the two in the relationship. You know, Satan can make people come at odds, because usually when two team up, they're very opposite in a lot of ways. You know, one has strengths that the other doesn't have, and the other has strengths that the first one doesn't have. That's why God put us together, so that we could support one another and enhance one another and get this thing accomplished. But my way, I'll just use Pete and me for an example. I told him a long time ago, I said, "I know how to gather the ducks up, but I can't get them in a row. You can't keep, I mean, I can't keep them in a row. I will gather up the ducks, but you will have to get them in a row. And what I meant by that was, I'm not the organized, analytic person that you are, Pete. I'm a people person, and I don't keep all the files straight. You know, and my office, I know where things are in there, but Pete needed to know where things are. Well, my personality, and I can hop from one thing to the next and then come back 3 days later and pick right up where I left off. And that doesn't bother me. Thank goodness, because in an elementary school setting, you know, I walk out the door to do one thing and I get spun around 3 times before I even get to the hallway. I can get back to it, and that doesn't fragment and frustrate me, unless I forget it. Then somebody will remind me, or the Lord will. But Pete likes to do a job and finish it, and then get the next thing and finish it, and then get the next thing. If he's very systematic and orderly, I'm not. Now, my personality could cause his personality to be offended with me. I'd say, what kind of a director are you anyway? You don't even know where you put the papers. I'm the one God put in this school. That's the kind I am. And you need to be a little bit more flexible. You know, not everything works in lines and periods for me. Life doesn't come that way in my direction. How about you? I get interrupted all the time. So I'm saying, you know, you need to flex a little bit here. I don't have to say it. He just does it. I have come to appreciate his order greatly. Were it not for his order and promptness and efficiency, the school would have been hindered many times over. He doesn't put things off and not get them done. And when he does them so right that the school was protected by his personality and his watch care and his government type of structure on the inside of him. So I've come to appreciate that. And I don't take that, you know, as a harsh word when he has to help me conform to some things. I take it as God helping me do what I need to do so this school can succeed. And he's the same way with me. You know, if I say, you know, take a breath, it's going to be all right. I'm going to find it. We're going to make it. It's good. It's all going to be good. Then he's learned to relax a little bit and not exact his same type of way he does things on me, because I don't do them that way. And what he's learned in the relationship, I'm sure there have been many things, but one of them is, you have a way to do it, I have a way to do it, we both get to the same end. That doesn't make my way right or your way right. Sometimes your way's a lot better, but sometimes my way's better. Now, if we'll communicate as we go along, how can two walk together? It's in Amos 3:3. There's only one way that they can be, and that is when they're in agreement. Otherwise, they can't. Oh, okay. I thought you meant 1 minute. I thought, woohoo. Okay. Well, we have it. We agree. We have that because, you know what we agree on? Our purpose. Because mine matches his, and his matches mine, and it's all about this Bible college when I'm here. Now, when I'm at Hasty, that's another part of my purpose. But here's the goodness of God. I've talked to him several times about, I have 2 full-time jobs. Why'd you do that? Because you put me at the college and you put me at Hasty, and I know you put me both places. And I really need all my time on one or the other. By the grace of God, it gets done. Now, what I've learned about that is, what God calls you to do, he will give you the grace to do. And here's the beautiful thing. What I learned in the educational system about administration, as perverted as the educational system is, we were able to take those skills and bring them right over into this setting in order to get this school accredited. And what I have learned in this school, I couldn't begin to put a value on. I have been able to take into my field and to use the principles of God in a public school setting and watch him bring miraculous things to pass in a public school setting that supposedly doesn't have God in it. Well, I got news for him. It does, because I'm there, and so are a whole lot of other Christian people. And God does amazing things in that field. So he's married the two together, is what I'm saying. I'm not fragmented, believe it or not, by those two things. They really go hand in hand in my purpose. They're both part of my purpose. That's what I've come to understand. But Satan wants to get in our relationships and make us mad at each other, or make us misunderstand each other, or make, you know, the way I communicate something offend you, so that he can, if he can divide us, he can conquer our purpose. But if he can't get between us, or if he can pervert us, or get us off track, what if I just said, Pete, you know what? I just can't do this anymore. I'm walking away from it. Good luck, buddy, with the college. And I just take off and do my own thing. That's unthinkable to me. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't do it for Pete. I love Pete. But I know it's the Lord's call on my life. So who would I be walking away from if I did that? God? And why would I walk away from the partner he's given me to get this job done? And the team that he's put around us to get it done? I wouldn't. Because I'd be walking away from myself in God is what I would be doing. And that's not to say that we don't get off track sometimes, but God, he's merciful. All we got to do is come home in our heart to get our thinking straightened out. Think on spiritual things. You know, everything around you is spiritual because God's in everything. He's everywhere. So the more in tune we are with the Word of God, the more in tune we are with the Spirit of God, and the more in tune we are with our purpose in God, the more spiritual things become. Even when it's just something natural that happens, you can see a spiritual lesson, truth, problem, something in it. I mean, God talks to us spirit to spirit. And that's how our purpose is accomplished in earth. We don't get waylaid and sidetracked by all the things around us that could throw us off, blow us off, or knock us off our purpose. Because we're focused. We're hearing something a lot better than what we're hearing out here. We're hearing the truth on the inside of us. And the truth will guide us toward God, always. The truth of His Word will always guide us toward Him. So that's like Him shepherding us right in our purpose as the truth takes us closer to Him. Then we are in our purpose as we get closer and closer to Him. So some, you've heard the song that we sing sometimes, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's how it works with purpose. You know, once the purpose is illuminated to your heart, then things that would have called you away or caught your attention or appealed to you or enticed you, those things fade in their ability to impact and control you after a while. I'm talking about over time as we mature. And things that would cause me to run away and do this and do that, they don't interest me anymore. It's not that I just don't have time for them. I don't want time for them because there's nothing in it. I've not accomplished anything in the Lord in a whole lot of it. So, it, you know, our purpose focuses us. And I was thinking, you know, where it says that Satan tries to pervert godly relationships. You know the story. You know the story. Thank you, Nancy. She's doing double duty tonight downstairs and up. Think about how many, I can think of it like, for example, in Christian music. How many Christian artists have put their gifts together? You know, we sing harmony, okay? And non-Christian too, of course. But I'm talking about people who have a call on their life, and we sing harmony so well that, you know, before long, I think you're the only one I can sing with. And we fall in love with the gift that God has put us together. And you know what I mean by fall in love? You know, I was thinking, you know the nursery rhyme, and the dish ran away with a spoon? Well, the preacher ran away with the organist, or the pastor ran off with the secretary. You know, things like that happen all around us. And it's wrong, and it's, you know, it's sad because it destroys so much. But do you know how it happens lots of times? Is that your purpose is so closely connected and you get misguided on what it's for. It's not for you. It's not so y'all can be happy together. It's so that others can be blessed because of your purpose. And if we keep focused on the purpose, then we can keep, you know, moving toward God in it. But lots of times, people get tripped up by their own gifts, I guess is what I'm saying. So, you know, they end up, maybe they end up together, but what could they have been if they had been together the right way, the way God intended, is what I'm saying. And so because of that, lots of times people think that, you know, it's dangerous to get too close to people. Well, you have to get close to people. It's not dangerous in God. It wasn't dangerous for David and Jonathan, except for the one who was jealous and throwing javelins at him. It was dangerous because of what Saul did. But do you know what David said about Jonathan when he was killed on the battlefield with his father? He said about Jonathan, his love for me was greater than the love of women. Which meant we had such a connection in purpose and heart that the natural stuff doesn't touch it. And if we can just remember that, the natural stuff doesn't touch it, then we can keep the mission, we can keep mission-minded. We can keep the spiritual purpose, the real purpose for the connection right. And the natural stuff won't get in our way to either offend us or attract us, whichever, you know, the enemy is trying to do. He can mess things up all kinds of ways. But if it's a godly relationship, God put it there on purpose. So we mustn't let him mess things up. We got to do what we're here to do. And that means being close, connected to people in the Lord. And that's a good thing. So don't let the enemy come in and mess you up with that, you know, getting you all upset with somebody. It's imperative that we approach all relationships with godly fear, realizing that these relationships are not coincidental. That means we take care of our friendships. They're costly. Would you lose a friend that God gave you over something stupid? Would you lose a friend that God put in your life over something selfish? No. So we must approach those relationships in godly fear, realizing that these relationships aren't coincidental, they're divinely ordained or satanically devised. Now there's another thought, because sometimes the enemy plants people along our path. And the reason he does it is not a good reason. He does it for evil purposes. So I'm thinking like of, say, Samson and Delilah. What was Samson's vow from his childhood? Was the Nazarite vow. So he went right outside of that vow to foreign women. And his parents pretty much allowed him to do that, even though they were part of the vow as well. Well, Delilah was in his path, but God didn't put her there. The enemy put her there. And time after time after time, she tempted him because she wanted to know the source of his power. Well, that ought to tell us something. Who gave him his power? God did. What did he give it to him for? So he could be a deliverer of the nation of Israel. With the jawbone of a donkey, he could conquer a whole enemy army because of the great strength that he had when the power of God came on him. That was his purpose. But Delilah wanted to know the secret of that strength so that she could undo his purpose in God. So did God bring that connection? No. Was that a divine connection? No. That was a satanic connection put in his path to trip him up and cost him a great portion of his purpose. Now he repented and he took more out, it says, in his death than he did in his life. But who knows what that testimony could have been if it hadn't been for her. He wouldn't have suffered the things he did. So we have to be very aware and spirit-led and God-fearing is the term that's in the study guide, and I like that. To know, you know, the motives of people and the heart of people that we come in contact with. Because God plants some on purpose for purpose, but the enemy does too, just like the wheat and the tares. And the only way we can know the difference is by the Spirit. Because people can deceive us if we're not careful. But it doesn't take too long. If you get close to a person, it doesn't take too long once you really get close to know what their motives are. And sometimes we ignore little signals. You know, the Lord's telling us, uh-uh. Yeah, that's going in a direction you do not need to go. That's going to do you harm. That's going to cost you. If somebody's going to hear that or see that, and they're going to take that, whatever, take that wrong, or this person's leading you away from me, not to me. This person's leading you away from your purpose, not to your purpose. They're not teaming up with you. They're drawing you away. Then we know what we have to do. We have to continue on with God and let that relationship fall by the wayside if that's what it does. And if that's what it does, when you tell a person the truth in love and that's what happens, then you know that it wasn't for your good or anybody else's to start with, if that's the way it ends. So it's imperative that we walk in wisdom and care for the relationships that God has given us right out of His own heart, like He did with David and Jonathan, and guard our hearts against even the very appearance of evil with relationships that Satan would put in our path, like Samson and Delilah, to undo us in the things of God and to bring us down and a lot of others with us. So I guess that's where we'll stop. That's a pretty sobering thought to stop on, but we'll come right back to this next week on Tuesday. And I look forward to continuing the study guide with you. We'll do it.